Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's January the 24th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, Democrats say they're ready to give up on how to fund the new farm bill. And the new economic stimulus package floating on the Hill could put the whole thing on hold anyway. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also, we'll hear about the seven wonders of the corn yield world. Research agronomist Fred Belo spoke earlier in the month to the Crop Protection Technology Conference right here on campus. It was an interesting, entertaining, and some would say enlightening look at corn production in the Midwest. Oh, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat, 4 cents higher at $9.09. The July was down a penny and a quarter at $8.59.5. March corn gained 20 cents, up the limit at $4.89.25. The May at $5.01.25, up the limit as well. And July futures, the 20 cent limit higher at $5.10. December futures, your new crop harvest month, at $5.02.5 on the settlement price, 18.5 cents higher. March soybean futures, $12.30.5, 41 higher. May futures up 42 at $12.49. And July contract at $12.63.75, 43 higher. November beans up 47.5 cents today at $12.15. Bean meal futures, March contract at $3.32.20, up $9.40. March bean oil up 2 at $51.68. February live cattle, 91, 12.5, 67.5 cents higher. April futures up 82.5 at $94.45. January feeder cattle at $98.80, up 45. The March contract at $102.70, down 32.5. And the February lean hogs at $56, even 75 cents higher for the day. Outside markets, trading the crude oil, March contract at $89.37 a barrel, up $2.38 today. April futures there, $2.33 higher at $88.95. The CRB index at 357.32, that's up 8.08. The dollar at 75.71 is down 0.59. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now 56 points higher, rather 53 points higher at 12,321 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Dan, I hear you're on the road this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm over here in the snowy, cold northwestern Illinois here this afternoon.
And so this morning you were speaking to a group of farmers where?
At Woodhall at the Farm Credit Services. I had a meeting here this morning, and I was their market outlook speaker here. Had a good group, probably had 100 farmers or so at the meeting talking about market planning, market outlook, crop insurance products, and whatnot.
What did you tell them in terms of crop insurance products and the volatility we now have?
Well, the individual crop insurance products, they kind of have to kind of determine which one they, you know, kind of want to work with. But, you know, if you want to incorporate marketing strategies and that with a crop insurance product, you're going to have to go with, like your revenue-based CRC or the RA or whatever. The GRIP policy is not going to work too good on that. And, of course, with today's prices, these other policies are going to be a little more affordable. GRIP's going to be quite expensive with these kind of prices if we can average these prices through the month of February. So I think, you know, nobody likes to add additional expenses to their farm operation, but crop insurance is kind of become one of those necessary evils, so to speak, again. Farmers with the type of dollars that we're pumping into each acre of corn and acre of soybeans, we have to have at least some form of cushion there to keep us, you know, from a catastrophic type loss.
ADM, of course, sells crop insurance. We probably ought to say that up front. Some producers probably are looking at maybe $60 or $65, $70 an acre for crop insurance. Is this something that really they can manage to afford in the coming year, you think?
Well, they're going to have to determine that. I don't think it's going to necessarily have to be that high. But you also got to take into account the value of corn here at, you know, $4.50 cash corn, let's say, multiply that by, you know, 200 bushels for some of this better ground. I mean, we're grossing $1,000 an acre. So, you know, $50 insurance cost or a $40 insurance cost is quite small when you take into the consideration of $1,000 gross per acre. Compared to maybe last year at $4, we were only talking maybe, you know, $800 gross, and the fees were maybe only $10 cheaper an acre. So, you know, each individual is going to have to pick out their own plan and how to work with it. But there's definitely interest in purchasing crop insurance to protect your risk and. You know, that's just part of today's living, I think, until things settle down and we can maybe define risk a little better. At least right now in this type of environment, it's kind of hard to define what the risk level is. So we need to have some form of protection, especially if we would get into a weather market this summer. If the eastern half or the western half or some portion of the Corn Belt would get into severe weather problems, these prices probably have a lot more upside in them than anybody would really think they would have.
Tell me how the dollar is playing into your view of the marketplace.
I think the dollar is a key factor, and I think that is finally what the market realized. I mean, with this break that we've had in commodity prices, there's still a lot of demand. There's just a lot of demand for the cash product. I think, you know, we saw a lot of end users come in and buy this break. All along, this commodity market has always been too high for the end user to get any length to the in the market. So, therefore, they always keep coming in here about every 30 days or every 60 days and buying some inventory.
And so we have, has the dollar weakened over the recent days? Is that right?
Yes. Well, we had a little bounce up, but yes, we have weakened. That, I think, keeps our export demand competitive. And we're, you know, just staying real strong with, you know, demand with the dollar.
Tell me about the corn and the soybean markets as you viewed the activity today after yesterday's big down day. We turned around. We had limit higher moves in some of those contracts today.
Well, the corn market and bean market was a limit down yesterday and then now being sharply higher. It does tell you that the market did find awfully good buying support on the price break and that maybe yesterday's losses were overdone.
Are you on the interstate by chance?
Yes, I am on the interstate.
You can. And, I can hear the cars blowing. You must have
a police officer wanting to know why I'm pulled over. I told him I was on the radio program.
Well, tell him to tune it in. It's AM 580 down low on the dial.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny. I thought I heard you talk to somebody there. All right. So let's get back to the volatility we've seen. We had one really low day, one, and then a turnaround day today. And how do you view this?
Well, I think the thing what we need to be watching is this market needs to show some follow through tomorrow, I think, in order to really put a little stability back into this marketplace. Now, we see that the stock market, you know, recovered sharply yesterday, and now, you know, it is, I think, moderately higher here going into the close. If we could get the stock market to settle down and be a little easier, then I think we would see that happen over in the commodity complex.
Are you thinking that, the commodity complex, without a drought or some other fundamental coming into the marketplace, would continue to maintain current levels through the summer months?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think you have to be concerned with demand. I mean, even though we haven't seen any backing off substantially of demand, we are at some awfully high prices compared to where we were just a year ago or even, 3 years ago. So I think you always have to be concerned with a slowdown in demand with the type of price levels that we have in place.
Ben,
so that's an ongoing process, and I think, once the market begins comfortable with the new crop production, I think you could definitely see some easing back of these price levels.
Dan, I'll let you go. Safe travels.
Okay, very well. Thank you.
You too. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group, joining us, I suppose, from the interstate somewhere in western Illinois after meeting at Woodhull today this morning. So we thank Dan for taking the time and giving us his cell phone number so we could talk with him this afternoon on a Thursday.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. A winter storm warning is in effect for LaPorte and St. Joseph counties in north central Indiana until 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon, not too awfully far away. A winter advisory in effect for Stark and Marshall counties in the north central part of Indiana, that until 4 o'clock Eastern time, too. Tonight, Ed Kieser says mostly clear skies and cold across the two-state region. Lows will range from 14 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 8 above in the far south. Here's Dave Dickey. He's got today's look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, congressional Democrats say they are nearly at the point of discontinuing talks with the White House over farm bill funding issues. Sources say Democrats will move forward with the farm bill in House Senate Conference Committee with little Bush administration input and send the resulting legislation back to the two chambers for an up or down vote. Yesterday, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson said Republicans need to explain to the White House that tighter payment caps won't pass congressional muster and increased spending is needed for conservation, food stamps, and specialty crops. And Arkansas Democrat Blanche Lincoln says the White House needs to meet Congress, in her words, at least halfway.
We've given a lot. We've given more than we ever thought we would. And it's time for them now not to come in at the final hour and say that, this it's our way or the highway, but to come work with us and figure out what we can do to make something that will be real.
Peterson adds attention on a pending economic stimulus package could put the farm bill on hold.
I think the fact that the whole Congress seems fixated and the administration on this is obviously not helpful, and the press. So it takes the focus off and gets people distracted.
Peterson acknowledged it may take more than one attempt to draft a farm bill the president will sign. Peterson says he hopes Congress will send a farm bill to the Oval Office for consideration before the week-long President's Day recess. The Congressional Budget Office says U.S. farm subsidies will run roughly $7 to $8 billion a year through fiscal year 2018 due to high crop prices. The CBO's semi-annual budget outlook said spending on farm bill and income support programs will be about 9% or $1 billion less than its previous forecast in August. Mandatory country of origin labeling in the U.S. is set to take effect on September 30th, but its implications continue to confound the Canadian livestock industry. Officials at the Canadian Cattlemen's Association say it's extremely difficult to project what effect, if any, that mandatory cool will have on sales. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says there will be flexibility in labeling.
One is entirely American. Others that is from a specific foreign country, and another way of labeling that it's a mix of meat from different countries. And so with that sort of freedom of the retailer to label the meat, you know, it's not going to be a problem for the consumer or the pork producer.
Some experts suggest it's possible a label reading product of Canada and the U.S. will apply to most meat, canceling the need to segregate product. Other experts suggest that retailers will demand strict separation between products between two countries, resulting in huge costs to both, for example, the U.S. and Canadian livestock industries. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. If I haven't said it lately, thanks. Thanks so much for listening. Dave and I really do appreciate it. Now, up next, a research agronomist at the University of Illinois uses a tool he calls the Seven Wonders of the Corn Yield World to teach farmers and crop consultants the relative importance of management factors that impact corn yield.
Wouldn't you like weeds with that? Well, no. I mean,
Fred Belo is a little guy with a great big voice and an even bigger message.
Weeds decrease yield, right? So in today's technology, I mean, if you have weeds, well, sorry, you're on fall.
He's been talking to farmers and consultants about the seven wonders of the corn yield world. Controlling weeds is not one of them, nor is controlling diseases or insects or even putting in field tile. Belo says those are all corn production management prerequisites. The University of Illinois research agronomist says the wonders are things that can impact yield every year. The number one wonder, to the tune of 70 extra bushels an acre, says Fred Belo, when it's just right, is the weather.
If I could select any single factor for corn yield, well, I'd take rain in July, with low August temperature being the number one, or number two one. So you know, if you have irrigation, then you say I control some of the weather. Not all of it, though. I put planting date in the weather. All right? I mean, anybody that doesn't plant when the best date arrives, it'll make a mistake. You know if you're planting too early. So planting date is weather-related. It either allows you or prevents you from planting. So weather, the number one wonder of the corn yield world.
The second wonder is nitrogen, but here is a note on that and the rest of the corn yield world wonders. The higher it is on the list, the more likely it is to influence the wonders below it. No amount of nitrogen can compensate for bad weather.
Weather and nitrogen, big interaction. How big effect does nitrogen have, by the way? This is a big question. I already show you here. It's influenced heavily by weather. And so here's sort of my example. This is my own data. Nobody loves data like their own data. You know, and I'm the same way, right? And you can glean a few nice things out of here, by the way. Look up here. See if you here's the. I guess this is one nice thing about N is if you put a lot more on than you need, it doesn't hurt the yield. Apparently, there's quite a water quality problem, though, I learned yesterday. You know, so that's the downside. But if it wasn't for that, geez, too much wouldn't be too bad. If I look at the delta yield, you know, and this is what we're really after. This is the value you get out of your N fertilizer. And I look at it here over a bunch of locations. It's about 60 bushels, 61 here, a little less than you actually think. But about a 60 bushel on-farm value for nitrogen fertilizer. I actually made it 70 because I can't believe it's only 60, you know, in my seven wonders.
The third wonder is the one the U of I's Fred Belo says farmers have the most control over. It is hybrid selection, and he suggests BT technology has already influenced the ability of hybrids to utilize the number two wonder, nitrogen.
Hybrid selection is probably one of the biggest factors that you make in influence and yield, and it's going to get worse with biotechnology. You know, if biotech had your way, they're going to start controlling the nitrogen and the weather in the hybrid, aren't they? And I'm pretty sure they're going to charge you for that.
Belo's fourth corn yield management wonder is the previous crop, and in the era of continuous corn has increasing weight. Numbers 5, 6, and 7 have smaller impact, but a larger possibility for interactions with the first four. They are plant population, tillage, and a catch-all simply called chemicals, which includes growth regulators and fungicides. Again, here's the list and Fred Belo's yield value in order. Weather, 70 bushels. Nitrogen, 70 bushels. Hybrid selection, 50 bushels. Previous crop, 25 bushels. Plant population, 20 bushels. Tillage, 15 bushels. And chemicals, 10 bushels. Add them all up, and you get 260 bushels. Up until last year, that would have been truly a wonder. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Thursday afternoon. Time on the closing market report to take a look at the cash grain market. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Nope, Bill is apparently not with us this afternoon. We'll see what we can do about putting him back online very, very shortly.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Prairie Boatworks Gallery, Mahomet, Longleaf Farm, Philo, Fertilizer Dealer Supply, Philo, and Birch Tree Consulting, Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
That was a little interesting. So I tried to call Bill, and he wasn't available this afternoon, and I don't have his cell phone number with me. I was listening to part of what Fred Belo had to say there as we were finishing up, and I didn't think that was his voice when I called him the first time on the phone. But he answered and said hello to Bill. It was just another Bill in that Lexington elevator, I guess, this afternoon. So we won't have the opportunity to talk Bill Mayer this afternoon, but we'll catch up with him again next week on Thursday like we always do. Taking a quick look at what the weather's like this afternoon. We'll go through those numbers as they came in from our own Ed Keezer. He says tonight, mostly clear skies across the two-state region. Cold lows will range from 14 below zero in northwestern Illinois to about 8 above in the far south. Tomorrow, says Ed, in northwestern and north-central and west-central Illinois, mostly cloudy. Some scattered snow showers in northeastern Indiana, mostly sunny. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Highs will range from 22 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 33 in the far south. Tomorrow, the wind speeds 10 to 20 miles an hour, and the minimum afternoon relative humidities will range between 40 and 60%. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, it'll be 2:30 Central Time in just 10 seconds. About 2 minutes from now, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A Champaign County board member has won his appeal in court and will remain on the February 5th election ballot. An appellate judge in Springfield has ruled the District 9 member Brendan McGinty can remain on the ballot, overruling on the decision of a Champaign County circuit judge. Challenger Richard Reynolds says while the misnumbering of ballot petitions should violate state election code, McGinty says the mistake was not serious enough to disqualify him. He faces U of I student Devin Cowson in the February election. A man who pled police on a crime spree in Urbana and Champaign last June has pleaded guilty to an attempted murder charge. 32-year-old Toriano Johnson also pleaded guilty to a charge of aggravated discharge of a firearm. On the evening of June 24th of last year, officers responded to a report of shots fired in an apartment complex in East Urbana, then traced Johnson to West Champaign, where he held two children hostage in a house there. Johnson faces up to 50 years in prison. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says she's happy with his amended plea. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is asking other coal-producing states to oppose changes to the Futuregen power plant planned for Mattoon. Blagojevich wrote to the governors of Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and three other states today, seeking their support in stopping federal alterations The U.S. Energy Department is paying three-quarters of the cost of future gen and has said the project should be scaled back or broken up because of escalating costs. The Alliance of Power and Coal Companies building the plant says it will pay more of the cost to allay those fears. The Chicago Sun-Times laid off 17 reporters and editors and cut another dozen newsroom jobs through voluntary buyout packages as part of a push to drastically reduce costs. The newsroom staff members were notified of their layoffs last night by telephone calls from bosses. Misha Davenport, the Newspaper Guild's co-chairman at the Sun-Times, disclosed the layoff total today, noting it was better than feared because of the buyout packages accepted voluntarily. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Please be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of the daily ag programming as MP3 files and podcasts. It all can be downloaded directly from the website. If you sign up for the podcast, those daily programs will deliver to your computer automatically, so you can listen to them whenever you want. That's all at willag.org. Don't forget, while you're there, make sure you sign up for our free weekend newsletter. And from time to time, you'll see in that newsletter and here on our air, Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist at the radio station. He's in this afternoon. Pete Levitt is away today. Thanks for sitting in for him today. We appreciate that much, Ed.
My pleasure.
It's cold out there.
Yeah, it's cold, although as I was saying this morning that, you know, this is not super unusual for January. We do get wind chills lower than 20 below zero every winter, and this is no exception. I was kind of surprised that the schools in Champaign-Urbana all closed. That wouldn't have happened when I was a kid, I can tell you that.
I heard you on my way in this morning talking about that.
And I was looking up the January 77 statistics where we didn't go above freezing the entire month, and we had 12 days where it was below zero for the overnight low, and a couple of days where it didn't even get above zero during the day back in 77. That, of course, was an extremely cold winter, but just to put into comparison to where we are now.
Man, that is cold, but we're going to warm up a little bit over the next several days, aren't we?
We are indeed. Tomorrow we'll probably see 20s around central Illinois, maybe still some teens in some of the thicker snow-covered areas up north for highs, and some 30s to the south. And then once we get into Saturday, it looks like many areas will have high temperatures in the 30s. And on Sunday, 30s north, 40s south. And as warmer air will come in on strong southerly winds, we, with that change to warmer air, may have a little bit of light snow in the area on Friday night into Saturday morning, but it doesn't look like a big deal. We start to then have a more progressive weather pattern with weather systems coming through more frequently starting next week. And there's one system coming in right around the change of the month, the end of January, beginning of February, that potentially for parts of the Midwest could be a big blizzard.
What's it doing now and where is that system?
It's not even anywhere nearby yet. It's just the models are creating it based on the upper air pattern. So that's why I say there's a lot. That's about a week from now that we're talking about. So it's something that we're going to watch is we're going to have a southwest flow aloft tapping Gulf moisture, and it just depends on the tracks of the storms. But this one looks like it might be strong with strong winds, and on the northwest side of the low, a lot of snow. But in the nearer term, we're going to be getting warmer weather with rain. There is a big storm system on the California coast right now coming in, and it's producing a lot of snow in the mountains and rain in the lower elevations. So that's our next system, but that's going to be a one that will produce some rain around here, I think, about Monday.
Will we have potential for more flooding and like we did earlier in the year?
Unfortunately, the weather pattern is setting up to where I think flooding will become a definite issue to worry about, especially the first week of February.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate it, Ed.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist here at the radio station, setting in this afternoon for Pete Levitt, who we weren't able to get hold of. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 8:50 a.m. Central Time for our first look at the commodity markets with your director of ag programming here at the WILL radio stations. His name, of course, Dave Dickey. You have a great afternoon. Stay safe. Stay warm. I'm Todd Gleason.